The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sports leagues are clamoring back into the public consciousness. They're clamoring back into some semblance of a schedule. And as always, the NFL leads the way. But they may be leading the way in a much compromised position. With fewer dollars rolling in, maybe guys betting on themselves just made a bad bet. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Who just made a bad bet on themselves? Could it be Dak Prescott? How about Patrick Mahomes? Deshaun Watson, did he time the market incorrectly? That's all coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. If you joined us late in the show yesterday, you missed a big treat. I promise, I'm not going to leave you out. Nuno recorded a diss track against New England Patriots fans. With Tom Brady leaving Boston, Nuno thought it's time for his revenge, so he recorded a rap track where he went after them, and we played those for our listeners in the third hour of the show yesterday. It was an absolute treat, to say the least, and everyone enjoyed it, everyone except for Nuno. Well, the target of Nuno's diss track, Louise Cornetta, who runs ESPN Weekends, and Kevin Winter, our SportsCenter update anchor, who are both New England Patriots fans, have responded. They have now recorded a diss track in response to Nuno's diss track, and now we have an ESPN rap battle on our hands. Yeah, I have all the information. I have all the raps. I have all the songs. You don't want to miss that. I'm going to play it for you a little bit later here on The Will Cain Show. Plus, let's take a look into who has the best uniforms in the NBA over the last 20-some-odd years. But let's start with what could soon be the case in the NFL. Let's start with bad bets on yourself. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. In his podcast, Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, was talking about the revenue impact on the coronavirus pandemic and resulting quarantine on the NFL. One of the biggest businesses in the United States stands to suffer just like everyone else. And when the boss suffers, so do the employees. Listen to what Adam Schefter has to say about how much the salary cap could be decreasing in the NFL.
There is the financial component, and I don't mean to come back to that every time, but I think it's an underrated, under-talked about element to this whole thing because, again, and I'll give you the numbers, if there's no fans and the NFL plays 16 games, that means about $100 million less in revenue per team. That's about $3.2 billion less in revenue for the league. That means that the salary cap, which is based on the revenue of the previous year, would go down $3.2 billion. So it would drop anywhere, I've heard, from $20, $30, $40 million per team up to $70, $80 million per, depending on all the revenue, depending on how much revenue didn't come in. So there would be a huge impact on the salary cap for 2021.
Was Adam Schefter broadcasting from a luau?
It was part of his Ask Adam segment on his podcast, so I guess they play some music underneath it, so yes.
I'm pretty sure that was from the TV show SpongeBob.
That song was? That music was?
I don't know if that's true, but it certainly sounded like it.
I was so confused, and not from the math I was trying to keep up with. I was so confused at the Hawaiian music going on throughout Adam Schefter's description of the salary cap contracting. That's the first time I've heard that sound. I think it will be the last. I did keep up with Adam Schefter's math best I could. Let me walk you through it. I don't want to drown you in a barrage of numbers, but this is what he's talking about. The NFL is approaching $15 billion a year in revenue right now. If teams are expecting anywhere from $100 million in a loss of revenue due to game day concessions, that he's talking about is the game day experience. If the NFL has to come back without fans in the stands, you're looking at a $100 million loss per team. In aggregate, that's $3.2 $1 billion in league revenue. Back of the envelope math really quickly, that is 20% of the league's revenue lost due to concessions, ticket sales, I'm sure merchandising, in-game advertising, whatever is lost in the game day experience. If there is a 20% drop in league revenue, you could probably anticipate some kind of corresponding drop in the salary cap. The salary cap stands right now at roughly $200 million a year. 20% would be $40 million less per year in salary cap spending. That's $160 million. Adam put the range somewhere in that vicinity. $20 to $80 million drop in the salary cap. Now that is massive. And I think the best way to internalize it is percentage-wise. 20, 30, potentially 40% of a drop in the salary cap. Now where does that hit? Well, it hits in players who just made a bet on themselves, who timed themselves or had their contracts come up in this market. The most obvious example of that is Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who is currently sitting in front of a franchise tender that he has not yet signed. Reported negotiations are somewhere in the vicinity of $33, $34 million a year and anywhere from 4 to 5 years on that contract, with the length of the contract being the biggest discrepancy in negotiations. But 1 year from now, when the salary cap drop would really take effect, you're looking at players like Patrick Mahomes, who would then, presumably, be negotiating an extension on his rookie contract. Deshaun Watson, in the same position. Phillip Rivers is on a 1 year deal with the Indianapolis Colts. Joey Bosa is coming up for his contract extension as well. Now, I would imagine, despite this massive drop in the salary cap, that the NFL is going to work much like society often works. The rich get richer. I would imagine if you're the Cowboys or the Kansas City Chiefs or the San Francisco 49ers, I'm sorry, the Los Angeles Chargers, wrong Bosa, you go ahead and negotiate those extensions regardless of what you anticipate the salary cap being. Because you know those players are that important and you assume to some extent this is a temporary blip. But I would imagine the real impact is felt on the middle class. The middle section of players who are hoping to get paid. And we're seeing a precursor of that, I think, right now. When you look at players like Jadeveon Clowney, Everson Griffin, Logan Ryan, and other players out there waiting to be signed, good players, but perhaps not franchise cornerstones. If the salary cap drops by 20-30% next year, you're going to look at big-time players out there not getting big-time deals that they expected. It could affect these quarterbacks that have made big bets on themselves. Their timing in the marketplace is just rough. I doubt it. I think the rich will still get richer, but what we're about to see in the NFL, if there are no fans in the stand, is a massive contraction in revenue, a massive contraction in the salary cap, and then a massive contraction in player salaries. I'll tell you this, Major League Baseball looks like it's headed for a potential return date in July. The NBA is meeting on Friday to discuss with its players union when they could soon return to play. And the NFL is moving forward with business as usual, as tonight they will release a full 17-game schedule for the 2020 season. And I will tell you, as we look at models on how to conduct business during a crisis, how to put your business in the best position to succeed, among the major sports franchises and leagues across this land, always look to the NFL. I'll explain that a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. It's time for Straight Talk. Well, that's been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You heard me bring up Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, guys approaching the end of their rookie contracts. They've had their fifth-year option picked up by their teams, of course. But the quarterback taken before both Watson and Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky has had his denied. The Chicago Bears have taken the first step in walking away from Mitch Trubisky. And I, for one, was wrong. I'll explain coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I did realize the error of my ways. I did correct my path. New things came to light, man. New information. And I corrected my course on Mitch Trubisky. But I was wrong in the beginning. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Korean Baseball Organization has officially begun their season. You can catch games on ESPN2. The next game will be tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2 with John Shambi and Kyle Peterson on the call. The Chicago Bears have announced they will not pick up the fifth-year option on quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. He is on his rookie contract, and unlike Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, the other quarterbacks taken in the first round of the same draft, that Mitchell Trubisky was taken number 2 overall, he will not have his rookie contract extended. It's possible that the Bears will allow him to enter free agency and then go ahead and re-sign him, but it's doubtful. You probably are not going to do that on a quarterback you plan to keep, especially when you just went out and acquired Nick Foles, which I think most of us presume will eventually end up with Foles becoming the starter in Chicago. Trubisky hasn't been terrible. He just hasn't been great. Trubisky went 8-8 this season, and before that, we know he led them to an NFC North title and into the playoffs. But Trubisky has consistently shown his limitations. They're not athletic, they're in accuracy. They're in picking apart defense. They're in quarterback play. I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky is unsalvageable, but I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination, is he a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination, he is in the same class as Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Why do I keep bringing up those two? I know they were all in the same draft class. That's really not the calculus for whether or not the Bears should pick up his fifth-year option. It's not simply a competition between Watson, Mahomes, and Trubisky. The Bears are capable of making their own decisions independent of those two quarterbacks. I bring them up repeatedly to go after Will Cain. Because in that draft, I traveled down with First Take and sat on the set in Philadelphia. When the Chicago Bears trade up to number 2 to take Mitch Trubisky, I said that was a good call. I presumed Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy knew what they wanted, that the ceiling on the North Carolina quarterback was higher. It's easy, by the way, in retrospect for everyone to go, that's stupid. But I will tell you this. No one thought Patrick Mahomes was going to turn into what he is today. If they did, he would have gone number 1 overall in the quickest pick in NFL history. I would suggest that the earliest I can remember anybody really championing Patrick Mahomes was our friend, ESPN front office insider, Louis Riddick, who somewhere during his rookie year began to tell us this kid on the bench in Kansas City, behind Alex Smith, is really special. He called him Cadillac Mahomes. And that season, although I was wrong on him, I did make the transition. I did listen to Lewis. I did see that the Chiefs had a ceiling with Alex Smith. And by whatever it might have been, November or December, I was doing pieces for Monday Night Football, and I did one that it was time to take the Ferrari. It wasn't a Cadillac, it was a Ferrari, out of the garage. It was time to move from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. But that doesn't negate the fact that I was wrong in that draft. I thought Trubisky's ceiling would be higher. I thought he would develop. It became clear that wasn't the case, and I'd say for the last 2 years, I've thought that it's time to move on from Trubisky. I didn't believe in Trubisky last year, even when the Bears were accomplishing playoff-level play, and certainly not this year. I think the Bears' future is not in Trubisky, and they're going to have to find a quarterback. I think it was in September, I said it was time to trade for Cam Newton. Whoever it may be, Newton, Foles, maybe Jameis Winston 1 year from now, maybe a rookie quarterback. The Bears are now in the market for a franchise quarterback. Foles can be the short-term starter. Foles can be the bridge. But the Bears, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, and I were wrong, terribly wrong, about Mitch Trubisky over Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Now, because he's been giddy about it during almost every commercial break and pre-show conversation, Nuno wants to say, oh yeah, guess what else you were wrong about, Will? Go ahead, Nuno.
I don't want to say this. I would like, as a friend, I would like to give you your opportunity to explain this. And I know how good you are, so I know you will explain your way, use big words, confuse everyone out of the argument that you were completely wrong on this. And let's just play it.
Well, Kane, you know this is coming your way, my friend. Did drafting Deshaun Watson make up for passing on your boy Big Tony?
Please. No. The Houston Texans are in panic mode. 25th to 12th for Deshaun Watson. Panic mode. They're chasing their tail. They have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. If I were a Texans fan, as I've said before, I would consider suing the franchise for fraud, mismanagement. This is, their quarterback situation has wasted the window of a Super Bowl-ready team. Every other aspect of that team is good. Defense, offensive weapons, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, except for one position. And you're telling me that your options were a historically very good quarterback, great, very good to great quarterback, top 10 over the last 10 years, versus a rookie, Deshaun Watson or Tom Savage. That's what they've entrusted this team to. It's embarrassing in management. It's embarrassing where they've left their window of opportunity.
Ouch. Okay, time for the big words. I would say I was 70% wrong on that take. I'm not going to take 100% culpability like I do on my Mitchell Trubisky take. I think I've just shown how big a man I am. Kudos to me for suggesting I was wrong on Mitchell Trubisky. Nuno, you might try to get me, but as always is the case, you're the Elmer Fudd in this relationship. You're the roadrunner. You are always, or I'm sorry, the Wile E. Coyote. You are always running over the edge of the cliff. I would suggest I was 70% wrong on that take. I actually wasn't doubting Deshaun Watson and who he could become, but who he was at that moment compared to Tony Romo, and I believe I was correct in that. Romo don't think ever played another down from that moment I was speaking, but he was fresh off not having a team. That was the final year of Romo's deal, or the end of Dak Prescott's first year when the Cowboys had moved on from Tony Romo. He could have stepped into that Houston Texans team and taken them to heights right away, and he was the safer bet, because I was right, 10 years, top 10 quarterback, approaching top five in the NFL. And in that moment in time, Romo would have been the right call at the quarterback position. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have drafted Watson, and Watson has obviously turned out great. My analysis on the Texans was correct. They had wasted their window with bad quarterback play for years. They happened to solve it pretty quickly with a good rookie quarterback in Deshaun Watson. But I wasn't wrong completely. Romo would have been nice there for a year or two in Houston.
At the end of the day, it's just best that they didn't take Mazda Mitch, right? Is that what we're doing here?
Cadillac Mahomes. I misspoke. Are you really going to be the one that thinks he calls out others on misspeaking here?
No, but you do it all the time, which is the best thing. You come at me all the time, and you butcher the English language almost as much as I do.
Cadillac Mahomes. Are you feeling, because of this diss track you cut yesterday, a little bit of salt in your britches? Are you feeling a little bit of swag in your walk? I don't understand what's going on.
I just feel like
you've been fighting with Pat. You've been attacking Bubba. You're now off air. You're now going at me on air. Explain to me exactly what's happening.
I felt like yesterday, and we talked about it, there was early on in the show, there was, I think we lacked the energy. I'm just trying to bring it today. And part of bringing it today means that every single person on this show attacks me.
You gonna lose some street cred, bro?
I would tell you, folks listening at home, what he has done today so far is he has sent to the show staff multiple YouTube clips of people taking shots at me. He has imitated me in a voice that sounded like this, and we're not giving him my feelings. And then he imitates Stephen A. coming in with a bunch of bass in his voice, you know, and then responding to me. He has told Pat that he is going to schedule a meeting for Pat with management, and he has berated Bubba, who has said two words during every commercial break. Our new Supreme Leader is also a rap diss track bully.
Wait, wouldn't your frat brothers be upset you didn't know this one?
That was from yesterday, as he started to get a little bit of backbone. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to let you hear this diss track, because the breaking news of the day is his targets have fired back. We now have a full-on rap battle here on The Will Cain Show.
Yeah, take that, Louise.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The NFL seems to have something figured out, namely that billionaires don't need to take business advice from millionaires who take their advice from writers on social media. I'll tell you why the NFL seems to always get business right. Coming up a little bit later here on The Will Cain Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Also, my phone lines are lit up. Please stay on the lines. You're going to judge the winner of the rap battle. Nuno versus Louise and Kevin Winter. We just played you both of their diss tracks. I need you to help me figure out who won in this entire situation. But hanging out on our phone lines now is our buddy, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. What's up, man?
Man, living good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I haven't talked to you in a while. Couple of quick news and notes. First, your boy Peyton is really good at trash talk. I don't know if you've seen the stuff that's posted on social media right now, but he's gaming up here. He's gearing up for this match with Tiger Woods against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady called The Match. And there's some trash talk they're posting on Instagram and Twitter, and Tom's not bad. That's the funny thing. Tom's not bad at it, but Peyton is really good, Jeff.
Oh, that's his personality all the way, man. It's the little digs, right? I mean, he's great. He's great at getting the little shots in across the bow, right? Like, and they're always kind of they're kind of wrapped. They can start as a little compliment, and then bam, it's right to you. You know what I mean? So he is very good at that. I can assure you. I've been on the receiving end of those a few times. Now you got to go right back at him. You can't try to avoid it, because if he smells blood in the water, bro, he's coming at you like a great white. So hopefully Brady and Phil, they put some more stuff out, because otherwise, if he knows he found weakness, he's going to keep going at you.
Really? So in the locker room back in the day, Peyton, let me ask you this, Jeff. Have you been watching The Last Dance, the documentary on the Jordan Bulls of the 90s?
No, I haven't. I got them all. I'm going to binge watch them. I have not watched them yet.
All right, what you see in there, what you will see, and I'm not giving you any spoilers here. Jordan was really a bully, man. He really was. Was Peyton doing this and it was all fun and games, or was it pretty rough for some players sometimes?
Oh, it could be both. I mean, the large majority of it's all in good fun, but I will say this, whether you were a coach or a player, don't try to fudge it. You know what I mean? Like, if we were watching film as a team and we're all sitting in a room and he asked the guy, you know, if he had the clicker, you know, had the little laser pointer on it and was pointing out, hey, what are we going to do here? You know, who are we going to try to pick up? We're going to try to pick the blitz up. You know, what's your call? If he knew a guy was fudging it and just wouldn't say, hey, I don't know, I mean, that'd be player or coach. He's going to embarrass you. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to know that you're as invested as he is. And he's not asking you to do anything he hasn't done himself. And so if you're not prepared, he would definitely come at you. And so there would be, I would say 99% of the time it was all in fun, but that 1%, you better hope it's not on you, because it can get really uncomfortable in a hurry.
Jeff Saturday here on The Will Cain Show. The other news and note I wanted to hit with you is I haven't talked to you in a while. I haven't talked to you certainly since the NFL draft, and I don't know if we've spoken since free agency as well. If you look at the league right now and what's transpired from free agency and the draft, the moves the Buccaneers have made, obviously. A lot of people like what the Ravens and the Vikings and the Cowboys did in the draft. Who do you think has improved themselves the most so far this offseason?
I think the Saints. I mean, I like where New Orleans did. First of all, I think they were loaded last year, but I think they continue to kind of build, a team that's going to be around late December, January, and potentially February, depending on how they finish it out. And so, this is a team that has lost some heartbreakers in playoffs. You know, Drew Brees, he's getting older. I get all those things. With Bridgewater leaving and the Taysom Hill conversations that have been going on. But I think as a whole, man, I think Sean Payton and Mickey, those guys down there, have done a really good job of keeping a nucleus together of guys who can win and perform. As I look at the Saints and the NFC, I'm not going all in on them yet, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be around.
Jeff Saturday here on the Will Cain Show. Okay, I know you talked about this. I think you talked about it on NFL Live, so I'm fascinated in your perspective. You and I have talked about your son in the past. He plays wide receiver. He's in college football, and I know they asked you about this. How would you feel about universities coming back, putting students on campus, college football returning right now? As a parent, how do you feel in this environment getting back to that normal with your kid?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question, but it's one that we've talked about. And from my perspective, my son obviously loves to play the game and he wants to go play. So I would allow my wife and I would, we'd tell him to go on, man, and encourage him, obviously prayerfully, hey man, go do your best and make good decisions and make sure that you're following the protocols the way they're asking you to do it. And so, I know it's not easy, but at some point we're going to have to return. And I think if they've done all the things that they're saying they're going to try to do, to limit exposure and try to protect kids and protect people to the best of their ability, at some point it has to happen. So whether it's going to be, all of us, at one time, but we're all going to have to slowly enter back into society. One thing I will say, and I said this, was, I'm probably more in favor of it starting with just the team, right? The nucleus getting there first before all the students, because at least you're kind of in a bubble for some time, right? And so if you bring 100 guys on and everybody's been tested and you kind of know what's happening, and then as everybody's kind of going on and moving forward, you begin to kind of add. I'd probably feel better about it, but you really don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. But we would let him go back if we felt strongly they were trying to do the best they could do, knowing there's no guarantees in anything in life, right? We all understand that. But my wife Karen and I had talked about that, and we would let him go.
All right. I wish him luck. You luck, man. I look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully, not in the too distant future. Jeff, take care, man.
Appreciate you, brother. Y'all be good.
All right, Jeff Saturday here on the Will Cain Show. Load them up. 888-729-3776. Who won that rap battle? Nuno or Louise and Kevin? It was one for the ages. Plus, last five out, our Super League in college football, the top 20 teams. Let's have a debate. It was teams like South Carolina, Washington, Nebraska that are in, Arkansas even. And who's out? Wisconsin, Michigan State, Mississippi, even Clemson. Let's have that debate next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.